Hello and welcome to Things I Wish Someone Told Me About God with Eric Green, author, producer, songwriter, recording artist, and senior pastor of the Father's House in Eugene, Oregon. I'm your host, Cody Willis, and I'll be facilitating this podcast and interviewing Pastor Eric on a variety of topics pertaining to our walk with God, the ministry of the gospel, and the practical outworking of our lives in Jesus Christ. So, thank you for joining us for a lively discussion that we hope challenges and inspires you to think more deeply and biblically about your relationship with God and men. Most importantly, Pastor Eric believes we should all be learning more and more about our God because he has a beautiful purpose and a plan for you. In today's episode, Low Man Wins. I'm here with Pastor Eric Green of the Father's House in Eugene, Oregon. And Pastor, the Word tells us in James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. I'm excited about this conversation today, Pastor, because humility is something that I have heard you talk about, and I've just sat under your teachings concerning humility for years. So we have a lot of great twist mags in today's episode. And if you're new to our show and you hear us use that term, it's just an acronym for the name of the show, Things I Wish Someone Told Me About God. So Pastor, let's start with the first one, which happens to be the title of today's episode, Low Man Wins, something you say often in your teachings. Can you just talk about what that means?
Yes, Cody, it's good to talk with you about a subject that we speak about all the time, humility. The choice for us to humble ourselves and to get low, to serve others and to serve God's purpose in others as a priority, to put ourselves last and not first, to do what we saw Jesus do, though he being God, him being the Son of God, him being Lord, served us, served his disciples, served everyone around him, made himself lower than anyone would think that a God could make himself, lower than anyone with the kind of power and the kind of calling that he had. He brought all of that to light in a way that we could not have seen coming, because he did not come to us in an exalted state. He came to us as a child, came to us in obscurity, and he came to us in humility and served us even to the point of giving his life for us, laying his life down, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And that is the template and example for every true servant of God. We're not here to exalt ourselves or to be exalted, but we're here to exalt the Lord. And we can exalt ourselves and exalt the Lord at the same time. We can exalt our work and exalt the gospel at the same time. We are called to a point of humility, of humbling ourselves and understanding that low man wins, which means that in any battle I get in, I would humble myself, then the Lord has said that he will lift me up. I am determined not to lift myself up. I'm determined to get low. And if I get lifted up, I want God to be the one doing it.
Pastor, I just want to stay right here for a moment because I heard you say recently that the kingdom is counterintuitive. And I wrote that down. So if the kingdom is counterintuitive, when I think of humility, I think about how unnatural it is to our flesh, Pastor. How can we, who naturally want to be first, who want to win, who are blind, as the scripture says, to our own pride, truly humble ourselves?
Yes, Cody, because as you said, the kingdom of God is antithetical to the kingdom of the world. Spiritual things are antithetical to natural things. It says in Romans 8 that those who walk according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who walk according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. And setting your mind on the things of the Spirit is a completely different way of looking at things than we would look at them naturally. So yes, the Spirit is counterintuitive to the natural, and we are called to live in such a way that we become spiritual beings driven from a spiritual standpoint. In other words, from God's perspective, seeing ourselves and seeing others and seeing the things that go on in the world around us as God sees them. And he just doesn't see them the same way we see them. His view is superior. And when we walk in the Spirit, so is ours.
Pastor, I've got a couple more for you here. Humble yourself before you stumble yourself. That one might be my favorite. And I'll be honest, I've used that one on my own children several times. And then better to humble yourself. It's better to humble yourself than to be humiliated. Pastor, can you just talk about the difference between humility and humiliation?
Well, it's absolutely that, Cody. When we choose humility, we're humbling ourselves. But when we don't humble ourselves and humility comes to us through others, then that's humiliation. If someone else has to put me down, that's humiliation. If I humble myself and take the lower place, that's humility. And God would have us to humble ourselves in his sight so that he can lift us up. It is doubtful that God will ever lift up anyone that does not humble themselves. And it is true, as it says in the book of James, that God resists the proud. He lifts up the humble. So when I say humble yourself before you stumble yourself, we're going to stumble over our own pride if we don't stop and look at the situation and figure out where God would have us in relation to what's going on around us. And God would have us in a lower position many more times than he would have us in a higher position. And before he puts us in a higher position, we first humble ourselves. The Bible tells us very clearly that that's how we'll reach the higher position, by first getting to the lower position. Now, that operates in a lot of different ways, and we can apply it. I believe we can apply it to every single important episode, every important juncture, every important season of our lives, if we'll just approach those things from a standpoint of humility, from a standpoint of not having to win, but from a standpoint of putting ourselves in a position where God can bring things to fruition. Then I believe that we have reached a place where God would have us, and God can take us from that lower position and bring us to wherever he wants us to be. And we know that's a victorious place, but God has to do it. And in order for him to do it, we have to first let go and let him do it by humbling ourselves.
We've all heard it said, what goes up must come down. But I think that perhaps it's better said, what goes up well must first go down, because I'm reminded that Jesus, before he was exalted to the right hand of the Father, went down into the belly of the earth. So can you just talk about this order? Because our God, I believe, is very orderly.
Just over and over, Cody, you see where the men and women that God uses mightily first went through a season of testing, a season sometimes of obscurity, a season of thinking, they must have been thinking that God had completely forgotten about them, or that perhaps they misheard God from the very beginning. And this is a theme. For instance, you take Moses, who was raised in Pharaoh's household, and for 40 years, he was raised as a prince. And he realized that he was called by God to the aid of his people, but he decided he was going to do things his way. Well, he got himself banished for 40 years to the backside of the desert, where he was a shepherd, became a shepherd for his father-in-law, Jethro. And he must have been thinking, he was 80 years old when he encountered God in the burning bush. He must have been thinking in those 40 years that he had gotten it all wrong and that maybe God hadn't spoken to him at all. But the truth is that God took those 40 years to make Moses a humble, simple man, so that now he could lift him up and use him as a great emancipator for his people. And we speak of Moses as the powerful and effective leader that he was, but the real characteristic that sets him apart, and the scripture says this, that he was the world's most humble man. Therefore, God could bring him to the mountaintop where no man could even survive, could bring him to the highest altitude that any man could ever experience, to the mountain and speak to him for 40 days at a time where he didn't eat or drink all the time he was in the presence of God. And God was able to do that with him because he was a humble man. And I believe that God is able to do great things in us, but it won't be by us determining to be great. It'll be by us going through the process through which God sends us. Once again, sometimes it's obscurity. Sometimes we think God's forgotten about us. Sometimes we think we've missed our purpose, but God knows what he's doing. Even if it takes 40 years on the backside of the desert, he never forgets a promise. He never forgets his purpose. And if we will humble ourselves, all of those things will come to fruition in its right season.
Pastor, I'm reminded of something else that I've heard you say, which is spiritual maturity is reflected in how quickly you get to your knees. So when I consider that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It would seem to me that humility is not a matter of if, but when, right?
Absolutely. It's not a question whether or not everyone, every man, every woman, every spirit is going to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the question. The question is, are we going to come as people? Are we going to come to God on our knees, or are we going to come on our backs? Because we're all coming to God. And if we come to God on our knees, humbling ourselves, then God will lift us up. If we come to God, if we don't come to God, rather, and our first encounter with God is after death, that is a poor proposition, because then you'll be humiliated. Once again, if I submit myself to humility, then that's what humility really is, when I submit myself to the lower place. Humiliation is when someone else puts me in a lower place. I want to come to God right now in a humble fashion, in a fashion that he respects, so that he can lift me up in that due season. I don't want to come to him after I have not humbled myself and have to be humbled before the truth that I ignored when I had the opportunity.
Well, Pastor, it says in Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship or your reasonable service. In one of our recent episodes, Pastor, when we talked about fire, we quoted a scripture where Jesus said in the book of Revelations, I counsel you to purchase from me gold refined by fire. And you and I had a conversation off the air where I was just asking you about that scripture. And you said the only thing you and I have to offer God is ourselves. So when I think about presenting ourselves to him as a living sacrifice, can you just expound on that truth?
A living sacrifice is really an oxymoron, because a sacrifice is something that you lay down, that you give up, or something that you kill. It's something that costs you something. Remember the law of Moses, when the people were instructed to bring a sacrifice to the temple, and often that sacrifice was a lamb, or for those who were poorer, was a bird. It was something that would lose its life once it was given to the priest, and the priest would kill it, and they would pour the blood out, the blood being the cost to pay in order to appease the anger of God for the sins that we've committed. So a sacrifice is something you kill, something you lay down, something you give up, something that is no longer alive to you. But he calls us to be a living sacrifice. So how can we do both? How can we be living and a sacrifice at the same time? Well, once again, that's an oxymoron, but both concepts are true and they are real in us who have laid down our lives, laid down what was otherwise important to us in order to pick up what's important to God, who laid down all the things that really matter to us, and to find out from God, once we've emptied ourselves, to find out from God what matters to him. Once again, it is doubtful that God will ever fill a man who isn't first empty. It is doubtful that God will ever lift up a man or woman who hasn't first laid themselves down. It is doubtful that God would ever exalt a man or woman who hasn't first humbled themselves. So when we see men and women who are exalted, who have no humility, know that that is not God exalting them. He may be allowing that. But God exalts men and women who in time, in his timing, that he is able to lift up because they have first humbled themselves. And if we get low, Cody, that is the only way in the spirit for us ever, ever to be exalted. If we're interested in being exalted in any way whatsoever, we have to realize it's not about us, but it's about God and his purpose in us.
Pastor, you referenced Romans 8 earlier, where it just talks about walking in the spirit versus walking in the flesh. And of course, the scripture tells us that the spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh wars against the spirit. So I just want to take a moment to hopefully juxtapose this flesh and the spirit. And of course, as we're talking about humility, to just juxtapose humility and pride. And the two words that came to me was serving and accusing. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus says, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. And he goes on to say, but I am among you as the one who serves. I've heard you say, Pastor, that you can't help anyone who doesn't serve. Can you just talk about that?
As long as we're on this earth, though we're filled with the Holy Spirit, though God is doing a mighty work in us, He does that in the reality of the battle that there is, you know, for us to get to our knees and get to our faces when there's so many other things going on around us, so many other things we can involve ourselves in, so many good things. You know, there's always a battle of the good thing against the best thing. Even a fool knows to stop doing the things that they ought not do. But when we are walking with God, wisdom brings us to the point to where we realize that there are even good things that will get in the way of the best thing. The enemy of the best is the good. So we lay aside all things that would keep us from getting low before God. And when we do get low before God, then He's able to show us really which way, what I call which way is up. Because we are liable to think that things are the will of God and things are the way of God that aren't until we get low enough to see where God is really leading. It's also so beneficial for us to get low, to get on our faces, because Satan cannot humble himself. One way, surely, to be untouched by him and his ways and his agenda is to get low, because he's full of pride. Pride is his main feature, and he cannot get to a man or woman that is low because he can't humble himself. But we can, and that's where we find the spiritual power to keep the natural man right where he and she needs to be. The concept of the flesh is, it's all about me. God has called us from that concept to the concept of the spirit that is all about God. That's the battle. And if we show up for that battle, we will win it. And we'll win it by humbling ourselves.
Pastor, you mentioned Satan can't get down there. So I just want to spend a moment talking about where he can get. I said earlier, as we just discussed humility versus pride, the flesh versus the spirit, I mentioned serving versus accusing. So as you bring up the enemy, yes, the word refers to him in Revelation 12:10 as the accuser of the brethren. And as I was just preparing for this conversation, I thought about how perhaps we're never more like the Lord Jesus than when we're serving somebody besides ourselves. And perhaps we're never more like the enemy than when we're accusing others. Is that true, Pastor?
The truth is that when Satan is accusing the brethren, he's saying things that are true, that are accurate. You know, when he accuses me of being this, that, or the other, he may very well be accurate. It may very, very well be true that I've been selfish and that I've been I've been dismissive of things and people that I should not be dismissive of. I am making everything about myself. I am not walking as uprightly as I ought. When he accuses the brethren, he's often saying what is true. But as I always say, there's a huge, huge difference between what is true and what is the truth. Because yes, it's true. I'm a sinner. I'm deserving of death and hell. But the truth is that Jesus Christ laid his life down for me and shed his blood for me and washed away every sin and the guilt and the shame that goes with us. So while Satan may be accusing you of something that is true, Jesus has come to us with a higher truth and comes to the Father with a higher truth. And that truth was paid for and ratified in his blood. And so all those accusations which Satan makes, they thrive on pride. Because by making accusations against us, he forgets to make those same accusations against himself. He when it comes to evil things, he tries to make it about us. But God assigns those things to right where they belong, because Satan is the liar and the father of lies. Jesus Christ is the truth, and in him is grace and truth. And that's how we come to God. And we come to God humbly, because when we do, then Jesus is able to lift us up. He lifts us up to the place that only he can bring us, because he's paid the price for us to get there. So we keep these things, if we keep it spiritual, Cody, and we keep our interfacing with others, our conversation with others, if we keep Jesus first, if we humble ourselves and come without agenda and come without any pre-prescribed end that we would have, then God is able to show us once again which way is truly up. And that way that's up is antithetical to the way that we would do it ourselves, the antithetical to the way that the world would tell us to do it, even antithetical to the way that some preachers would tell us to do it. Because Jesus himself humbled himself, and we too will humble ourselves, and we must humble ourselves before God lifts us up, before we can see anything that he would have us to see.
Pastor, I'm just so encouraged, and I'm reminded of how we began the conversation in James chapter 4, verse 10, which says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you." I'm just encouraged, Pastor, that exaltation is God's business, and we ought to trust Him with that.
Yes, Cody, because I don't think I would do a very good job of mapping out what my exaltation looks like or how I ought to be exalted. I would probably exalt myself in ways and areas that are different than what God will do if I give Him an opportunity. Any man or woman that I've seen exalt themselves, it usually turns out poorly. We speak often about these things, Cody, and we say about altitude is the air is thin up there. Think about mountaintops and what lives on a mountaintop. Nothing. There's pretty much nothing that lives on a mountaintop. There may be some obscure hidden things up there, but there's not a lot of vegetation. There certainly is not a lot of life up there, not a lot of animals or people that live well in high elevations. The air is thin up there. And I would most likely promote myself and put myself where the air is thin. Air and spirit are the same word. And if I lift myself up, there is very, very little chance that lifting myself up, I am doing it because I'm filled with the Spirit. And there's not a lot of Spirit up there in a place where I exalt myself. There's not a lot of the Holy Spirit at high altitudes. But what God does do is He gives me those moments where He speaks to me and I feel like I'm on high because I am. And the reason He lifts me up to that place so He can send me back down to the valley. And I can bless people according to the way I've been blessed, according to what I've seen when God has lifted me up. So I do my best. I'm learning to do my best, not to lift myself up ever. Because if I promote myself, I don't believe God will promote me. If I protect myself, I don't believe God will protect me. If I make the best out of life that I can for myself, I don't give God an opportunity to do much more than I could ever do on my own. And that's my encouragement to everyone who's listening to me. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He has a plan and a purpose. And that plan and purpose is accomplished by Him, through Him, in Him only.
Last but not least, Pastor, you've said many times, it's not about me. So just allow me to put this in my words. How would this situation, this difficulty, this pain even, be different if it wasn't about me?
There are so many times, Cody, when I challenged myself with that question. I've been married to my wife for 44 years this year, and I have learned over the years, and I know can speak for her too, we have learned that it's not about us. If I'm determined in any place where she and I may have a disagreement, if I'm determined to win, if I'm determined to be up front, if I'm determined to be in charge, then I may win the argument. I may even be able to impose my will. But that's not victory. When I humble myself and place myself in a position to hear her, to understand her, and to serve her the way the Lord would have me to do and the way the Lord has done for me. And she does the same thing. We do that for each other. We've learned to say, it's not about me. And once again, as you said, if it's not about me, then so many things that matter, I realize, don't really matter. It doesn't matter that I'm first. It doesn't matter that I'm right. When it ceases to be important to me that I'm right, then God has the opportunity to help me be righteous. It's very difficult to be right and righteous. Because truly, who wants to be around somebody that's right all the time anyway? But I believe we all want to be around somebody who's righteous and who walks in God's righteousness. I want to be that person. And I pray that God is making me that person. And I believe that He is.
Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of Things I Wish Someone Told Me About God. We hope you found this discussion stimulating and enjoyable, as well as uplifting. So much so that you'll tell a friend or two and listen in again. Pastor Eric and I will be back with the next episode shortly. Until then, may God bless and strengthen you in your walk with Him. On behalf of Pastor Eric, I'm Cody Willis, praying God's best for you.